There is more power in love than in anything else. And I'd like to read just part of our poem again. You can follow along, but you don't have to. Oh God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you, that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Well, sometimes we just really don't get it. And sometimes we really don't understand it, at least most of the time. Sometimes we see it, God's love. Sometimes we feel it. But Jesus' love, Jesus' way of living, is a little difficult for us at times. It's difficult for us to accept and for us to really, I guess, do it, to live it. We're not as self-giving or as self-sacrificing as our Lord, although we're supposed to be working towards it. And we're not as self-giving and as self-sacrificing as sometimes we think we might be. We view God's love and the way Jesus lives sometimes in an out-of-focus way, sometimes being self-projecting our own thoughts and our own ways into it, sometimes even a little bit on the warp side, change into a way of loving and living that suits us better, suits our needs better, kind of what we want, not really what God wants. And I tried to find this one particular picture at home and I couldn't find it. But have you ever seen a child's drawing where the house is like this big and the people are almost the same, or any kind of picture? The drawing is just a little bit out of proportion. It's kind of drawn from their perspective at that time. And they're little. That's fine. The child has grasped the general idea, but it doesn't quite have the ability to draw it as, let's say, the art master Michelangelo, or how it really is. At least, not yet. There needs to be some growth, some practice, some encouragement, some understanding, plus a willingness and a wanting to, a desire to succeed. For us, Jesus is the master. Michelangelo is the master of art, but Jesus is the master of love. Jesus is love. And like the child who is learning, who is willing and wanting, we are to strive to grow up into, towards Jesus' love. Trying to imitate his behavior, his attitudes, his responses. Doing Jesus' way and having and accepting his way is our goal. And it should be our goal to love as Jesus loves. We heard that last week. Love one another as I have loved you, and they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That is what life is all about. That is what life is about attaining. Having our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our bodies, and our actions totally filled and motivated by God's love and with his help. And then allowing God to let him draw out of us. Allow God to kind of get the Michelangelo that's in us regarding love to grow us into the Lord, into the love of Jesus Christ, into the image of God, which is who we are to be. We are made in the image of God. So now Easter is almost over. It's almost at a close. But the gospel gives us some good news. And I'm going to read a section. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, will teach you everything, and here comes another one, and it will remind you of all that I have said to you. So see, God knows we're going to be forgetful. He knows that we're senile. So he sent the Holy Spirit to keep reminding us, especially me. He reminds you of all that I have said to you. Jesus then says, peace, I leave you. I leave with you. My peace, I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. Well, Pentecost is on its way. We celebrate it in a couple of weeks. And with Pentecost, Jesus is coming back again. With Pentecost, we receive Jesus' gift, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, our advocate from God, God's perfect love given again to us. So just for a second, let's think about an advocate. What comes up in your mind? An advocate is a person or one who is there for the other. Has nothing to do about them. Their presence is there for the other person. Totally. With the Holy Spirit being our advocate, it's the same way. The Holy Spirit lives in us with total and constant and pure love. And a love that's genuine, intimate, and true. Very gentle and reassuring. And his love is constructive, always. The Holy Spirit has a love that is self-giving, totally unconditional, and totally unlimited. The Holy Spirit remains with us and lives in us forever. Nothing can take it away from us. The Holy Spirit is our guide, our counselor, our helper, our protector, our defender, and is what keeps us safe. What a gift. The Holy Spirit gives us peace, the peace of God. The Holy Spirit gives us confidence and help each and every day. We are never, never alone. So we can and are to trust in God enough to know that He does prepare good things for us, and that the Lord keeps his promises. His love and promises, his gifts to each and every one of us will exceed anything that we can possibly think of or dream about, whether we know that or not. Time will tell. In my trust in the Lord, I would bet on him. But it is also with this very knowledge, with this very love of God, that we are to show that and to do it and to give it to everyone, to love all others the way Jesus loves us. And in the end, the reward for loving God is to be able to love Him even more. And I'd like to end not with a prayer, but a reading from 1 Peter. And I marked it because I was worried I might not be able to find it. So it's 1 Peter chapter 4, around verse 7. It says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins." And that's what Jesus, our Lord, has done for us.